The meeting will come to order. We do not yet have a quorum.
Okay.
But we will start with the first bill, which is House File 978, Representative Fortman. And welcome to the committee. And while she's coming up here, and as members get settled, we had the last committee went over, so that's why we are disorganized at this moment. Some of us have been sitting here since the time it should have started. But we are going to have a day of bonding requests, and then we will also be hearing the subcommittee report from Representative Dominguez and acting on those bills as well. And so, Representative Fortman, I can't move it because we don't have a quorum yet, but when we do, Representative Fortman, we can do your amendment. But okay. Why don't you start and tell us about your request.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is my name is Melissa Hortman. I represent Northern Brooklyn Park and a little piece of Southern Coon Rapids. Both sides of my district are along the Mississippi River. And there's a school called Riverview Elementary School that is a math and science specialty school. It's an elementary school at 93rd Avenue and West River Road. It's across the street from the Mississippi River, so it's got this really unique placement. It also has a greenhouse and has become a real center for math and environmental science learning. Recently, the people who owned the property just north of Riverview Elementary School, the father passed away and the mother put the property onto the market. And so this opportunity to purchase the property is there now. There's a commercial developer purchased the property. He clear cut it. He tried to get approval from the city of Brooklyn Park to do something, which the city is not interested in having him do. And so the state of the property now is that this very gorgeous, very unique asset has been somewhat destroyed. And it would be a wonderful learning opportunity for the school and the community to restore that to the natural condition the property was in before this developer ruined it. So what I've had passed out to you is a syllabus put together by the Riverview Math and Science School about how they could turn this site into a statewide resource on math and environmental science education. The school is supportive, or the school district, the Anoka-Hennepin School District 11, is supportive of the proposal, and the Isaac Walton League is a nonprofit group that also is working with the school to put both the educational program together and to move towards purchasing the property. So I don't know if you have a quorum yet.
Representative Horton, we do. And so I am going to call the meeting to order. And I will move for Representative Portman, House File 978, to be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Education Finance Division with further recommendation for referral to the Capital Investment Committee. And members, let's go ahead and vote on that. Or we don't have to vote on that. But the bill is now before us. And then Representative Portman has an amendment as well. I'm going to explain what we're doing before we vote finally on Representative Portman's bill. I was waiting until we had more members here. So I'll now move Amendment A1 for Representative Portman. And if you want to explain to us what the amendment does.
Madam Chair, if I could defer to Tim Strom to explain the purpose for the amendment,
that would be great. We do that a lot in this committee. I'm glad you know which one it is, though. Usually we say Mr. Crow or Mr. Strom. Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, this is just a technical correction to get the money from the rate bond fund. This should come from the regular bond proceeds fund, not from the maximum effort capital loan fund. So that's all the amendment does, is fix the bond fund from which the money comes.
The word technical is all we need to know. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is adopted. And Representative Portman, unless you have testifiers, I'll explain what we're going to do. Did you?
I do not have testifiers, no. Representative Dietrich might have had a few words to say, but our constituents together brought this to us.
Okay, very good. Members, before we vote on this bill, I'm just going to explain the general procedure that I'm going to recommend, and of course, as always, members, all being elected officials, can make up our own minds. But I'm going to recommend that of all the bonding bills we hear today, Representative Hortman's bill, Representative Saylor, and Representative Cornish, there are only those three requests that have to do with education this year. And I'm going to recommend that I'm going to encourage members to pass them all along to the bonding committee, and then the bonding committee can decide what to do with them based on their amount of money. But I am aware of some of the other requests, and it's my opinion that that all of these requests being related to our students and our schools should take precedence over a lot of other things that they are considering. And so I'm glad we have these three education bills, and I hope that all of our members will support them so they get in the mix with the bonding committee. Representative Hortman, you were done with your final statement, right?
I am done. I just think the packet is really excellent. You can see the wonderful learning opportunities that would be provided at each level of elementary school through this property.
Thank you very much. So, Representative, I'll renew my motion for House File 978 as amended, be recommended to pass, be referred to the Education Finance Division with further recommendation for referral to the Capital Investment Committee. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
It's okay.
We aren't going to count that. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Portman. Representative Garofalo, I know you're interested in the timeline for the omnibus bill, so I'm going to call you back to your seat. Well, you probably may have had a constituent, but yesterday Representative Garofalo fairly asked a question about what exactly is the timeline for the omnibus bill so that everyone can know, and I thought I should answer for everybody, not just for the members, so that we all have an idea. And so there are three dates to keep in mind, and the first one is Monday, March 26th. That day, we're going to actually be meeting, since it's Monday, from 4 to 5:30 in room 5 to go through the draft of the omnibus bill. And Representative Murphy has given us her time, and I know that is not a regular committee time for everyone on this committee, so I want to make sure that you know about it so you can mark it on your calendar. We're trying to meet all the deadlines, and she thought that would help us. On Tuesday, March 27th, we'll have our regular committee time, our regular committee spot here in this room, and that's when we'll be marking up the bill. On Thursday, March 29th, is when our bill will be in the Education Finance Committee. That's Representative Murphy's committee, and then she will have our time in this room, and that's when the bill will be run through that committee. Any of our members that are not on that committee are welcome to be there and observe that, but we will definitely be in their territory at that time. And I hope to, hopefully we can meet that schedule. We'll be trying to hear all the bills, and I think we're in good shape for doing that. Are there any questions? Representative Dominguez.
Madam Chair, do you know what time is on the 27th and 29th?
Representative Dominguez, at those times it will be our regular time, 2:15 to 3:45, right here in room 10. So the only new time really to put on your calendar that you may not have scheduled, or you wouldn't have scheduled unless you're on Representative Murphy's committee, is Monday, March 26th from 4 to 5:30 in room 5. And then the other two times are our regular time, except that the final one, March 29th, is not this committee, but Representative Murphy's committee. Okay. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wondered, will we have a separate K-12 finance omnibus bill, or will there be one super large omnibus bill?
Representative Erickson, that's a good question. I wish I knew for sure, but I am pretty certain, I've been told, that we are going to put the super E-12 anyway, not higher ed, but E-12 will be put together in Representative Carlson's committee. That's the plan. That's what I've understood since the beginning of session, and I don't expect it to change, but, you know, you never know. It would be my desire to have that happen, and that would match us up with the Senate, but I can only answer for myself. Representative Heidgerken.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Next week's, just going over the schedule again, next week, Tuesday night, we meet with Property Tax Division, is that correct? We're going to be doing the levies and the debt equalization, some of those bills. Yes. Wednesday and Thursday, we're also meeting in the evening, right?
We have it reserved, okay. And we are planning our schedule. We are on very good shape, but we, you know, because we don't always know if we're going to have a session called at the last minute or we somehow don't finish up with the bills that we have scheduled. Each day, whatever we have scheduled, we have to finish, okay. Because otherwise it wouldn't be fair to the next day's bills and those authors and so forth. But this committee has been, I think, very good about being concise, and so I'm hopeful not to have too many evening sessions, but you never can count on anything because we might run into something that we need to discuss. And Ms. Patrick is just reminding me that we also reserve time on Friday, and your legislative assistants should all be notified of this. What time was that again? Oh, that's 2:15, our regular time, again, right here. All the night meetings and the extra meeting on that Friday would be here, should we need it. And that, I think, we are going to have to take, whether we take all the night spots or not.
No,
which day is that?
Friday
the 16th. And then the 13th is what Representative Heidgerken was referring to, the levy and the joint meeting with the tax committee. Representative Mariani.
And Madam Chair, particularly for members who also serve on the E-12 Policy Committee, a good number of our members do that. We will be having evening meetings on Tuesday and Thursday of next week, as well as our Friday meeting. Our hope is that that's it for us, because our intent is to get bills that have finance considerations out by the end of next week. So then we'll go back to a more regular schedule. But next week is going to be particularly, I think, stressful and strenuous for members who serve on both of those committees. And for you new termers, welcome to the legislature.
In fact, Representative Mariani, thank you for that. I have been here when the schedule was much worse. So it's a shock, though, for people who are new. And because we're hearing all the bills, I think that's part of it. You know, the last few years we haven't heard all the bills, and that's lessened the schedule. But I like hearing all the bills, but it's a big schedule. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The 3:26 meeting where we're going to reveal the omnibus bill, will members get an opportunity to review the bill before the committee, or will that be when we see it for the first time?
Representative Garofalo, our goal is to get it to you on Friday, and I am going to discuss that more, the draft, more with Representative Heidgerken and Representative Demmer, and if you want to get in on that meeting, talk to them so that they have details of that. But when we were in the minority, we always got 24 hours, and we didn't think that was enough time, so you're going to get longer.
Oh, well, thank you.
But you're going to have to work on the weekend.
That's okay.
But often we were waiting on Sunday for us. Mm-hmm. Mr. Crow or Mr. Strom and Ms. Larson came with the bills, the articles, and we would get them as they dribbled in, but we didn't really have, that was really hard on us, and so I thought it would be better if you guys would have a better length,
sure,
of time.
And Madam Chair, do we have a 24-hour rule in this committee for amendments?
Representative Garofalo, we have a 24-hour rule, and that's a good question because we haven't really needed it, and everybody's gotten their amendments in, and we haven't been heavy-duty on amendments. But our 24-hour rule says when possible, and people that can't get it in should talk to me or talk to Ms. Patrick, and we want to be as flexible as possible. But our goal is to at least know as much as we can what amendments people have so that we can be prepared and be more efficient and, rebutting or whatever we want it, or supporting, if that's the case, I'm sure there'll be some of that as well.
And Madam Chair,
Representative Garofalo.
Because I was just looking at the timeline here, it looks like we would, hypothetically, if we were to get the bill on the 26th, it would be within the 24-hour window. So it sounds like you're willing to accommodate that by providing it in advance. And then final question, if there were amendments to the bill that are available, will they be made, will all amendments be made available to all members in advance of the 27th?
Representative Garofalo, I'll be discussing that with Representative Heidgerken and Representative Demmer, but I believe that's what Republicans always did for us, so that's, I don't see why we couldn't do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right. Now, we need to approve the minutes. Thank you. Representative Faust, did you read March 7th minutes?
I sure did study them.
Okay.
Can I make a motion we approve those minutes?
Representative Faust moves that we approve the minutes of March 7th. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and the minutes are approved. And the next one we have is Representative Saylor. And for Representative Saylor, since she's not on the committee, I will move House File 1120 to be passed and re-referred to the Education Finance Division with further recommendation for referral to the Capital Investment Committee. Welcome to the committee, Representative Saylor.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is indeed sort of a deja vu. I'm here to ask for your consideration for funding for the maximum effort school loan for Red Lake. We have been before many committees in this legislature and before the body to finish up the Red Lake School, the middle school, and the high school, and it has been moving along in bits and pieces, and it's really time for us to move ahead and complete the building. It's also fiscally more responsible to finish the job rather than wait until inflation goes up every 2 years or until architectural pieces change and have to be modified. So I will be very happy to turn the details over to Monty Hammett, who's the excellent representative from Red Lake School District, who is working on this project, and I thank you all for your attention.
Thank you, Representative Saylor. Welcome, Mr. Hammett. If you could restate your name, as you know, for the tape.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Monty Hammett. I work with the Red Lake School Districts, and from the last meeting, I don't think I'm much of an expert. Anyway, Madam Chair and committee members, I'd like to also mention that we have, and we're very proud to have our school board members here, Vice Chair Keith DeFoe with us, also our clerk of our board, Barbara Thomas, here. Also, we have as our architect, Troy Miller with the DLR group. Madam Chair, committee members, thank you very much for allowing us to come before your committee, hopefully to try to finish a big portion of a project that started in 2001. You folks have been very, very good in the committees over the past number of years in helping and assisting us in trying to get our facilities for our children at Red Lake. We are very proud, Madam Chair and committee members, to report to you that all of the previous existing funding, the construction and the work, is basically the 2012.4 is basically that has been completed. Students are in the 18 a year ago. The high school portion, F and G, next week the students move in. The J section we'll have ready for the students come fall, in the later part of the fall. And without your help, Madam Chair and committee members, we wouldn't be able to do this. We did provide a handout here for you. It should have been in your packets. It kind of depicts the background of what's been done, what is done, and what we need to do, Madam Chair, with this. And it's the intent of the district and hopefully the intent of your committees and our legislative body to try to help us finish our middle school, high school this year. This all started with our great legislative process and you folks helping us do a master plan of facility which was done and completed and given to the department and to your various committees in 2003 depicting the entire program facility needs for the district. We are at a very, very important part of our construction facility development and trying to finish our middle school, high school. I can't put the emphasis too strong, Madam Chair and committee members, on that. So we can move forward into the next phases as we redevelop and relook at in the for the future needs of the school district. With that, Madam Chair, I think that if there's questions that maybe Madam Chair, in your committee, we can try and answer those questions.
And Mr. Hammett and members, before you search for the handout that Mr. Hammett referred to, it is our error, and they are still up in our office, and they were in time. It's definitely our error, and they will be down here shortly. So that's not nothing that you did. You got them in way ahead of time, but so far ahead, I guess that we put them in a corner. members, if you have any questions, one thing, please explain, either Representative Saylor or Mr. Hammett, there's a blank here for the appropriation. So tell us about that.
Madam Chair and committee members, yes, we were in visiting with our legislative people, visiting with the folks from the departments. This blank was left kind of as, and you'll notice that we have language in there also, it says notwithstanding. We submitted back on October 11th of 2006 the revised review and comment that reflected the total development, total completion package for the Red Lake Public Schools in the district there. That package included all the elements which are in here of totally finishing everything. That was brought forward from 2005, which were over $0 in. That package was $56 million. We went back to the State Department of Education, State Department of Finance, and the only changes that we asked them to look at our figures, and they increased that amount by the inflationary factor to $60 million. That's the total package, Madam Chair and committee members, that it would take to totally complete our Red Lake High School, Middle School, our Panema Elementary School, our Red Lake Elementary, and tying together the Red Lake Early Childhood Facilities. The emphasis that we strongly encourage and we strongly request your help on is not the $60 million, unless you can provide it, that would be excellent. But we realize that the constraints of the budget. We've talked to several folks, and we can finish the middle school, high school with $30 million, and that would be our major request, so we could finish that, get our children in there, and that piece after 6 years would be done. And that would be our request, I would say, to fill in the blank, and that's what and that would be fantastic,
Madam Mr. Hammett. Then I will incorporate the $30 million into the blank on line 1.8, and with the understanding that that's for the middle school and the high school. And I appreciate that you want to finish up a project, because when I had the chance to visit the Red Lake High School, that was one of the things we noticed with going through when I was up there with Representative Saylor and Representative Hausman, was that, and actually Ms. Patrick, that when projects got started and then they had to bid again for the next project, there were different electrical systems sometimes, and with a principal who had to not build it but actually operate it, was pointing out how difficult it is when it's done in so many stages. So that was why I asked if they could figure out what to finish rather than a little of this and a little of that, and I appreciate that you have done that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any questions? All right, let's see. Representative Erickson and then Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Mr. Strom should explain, because we have so many newcomers, the maximum effort loan program, and to what extent Red Lake is different or somewhat different from the rest of us who may have maximum effort loans.
Thank you, Representative Eric, because that's a very good idea. Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, I'll give you the 1.5 minute version of the maximum effort capital loan program. Under this program, the state sells general obligation bonds and uses those bonds to help school districts construct new facilities. In order for a district to qualify for a maximum effort bond, it has to have relatively low property values. Most of the school districts, there are about 20-some school districts that currently have outstanding maximum effort bonds. A few of those are fast or relatively fast-growing districts that have some chance of paying off that loan. Farmington, for example, has a maximum effort school loan. Foley School District has a maximum effort school loan. These districts have a 50-year time period where they make a maximum effort levy, that is a maximum tax rate effort levy, and whatever is not needed to pay the local share of the bonds is returned to the state to help pay the state bonds off, to help support the costs of servicing the state bonds. The Red Lake School District is an independent school district, just like all of the other school districts in the state, but its boundaries encompass primarily reservation property, very little of which has any taxable value. As a result, the Red Lake School District situation is different than some in that it doesn't have any tax base with which to repay those bonds, and second, because its tax base is so low, it doesn't really have a local bond share of any size either. For most districts that have a maximum effort capital loan, they have a fair amount of local bonds that accompany that project as well. So the primary difference with Red Lake is because it has no tax base or very little tax base, its full project costs come from the state, and the chance of repayment of that is non-existent, essentially.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Any other? Oh, Representative Demmer is on the list. Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for some perspective also for new members, welcome, Mr. Hammond. Nice to see you again.
See you, Representative Demmer. Thank you.
I too, had a chance to visit the Red Lake School. I think it was the summer before last. We went up and saw that. And very educational and very interesting. A lot of good things happening there. But as the Chair mentioned, as Chair Grathing mentioned, this has been a kind of series. This is my fifth year, and I think we've had bonding proposals and bonding revenue for Red Lake, every bonding bill that I've been here for. And if we could, for perspective, and I don't know if Mr. Hammett, you want to do that, if we want to look to Mr. Crow or Mr. Strom, can we just get a history of the amounts that have been put in and kind of in a quick snapshot, the three or four times we've done it, and then in a total and what we've done? Because I think you're going to ask to end up with a totally renovated school when this is all finished.
Mr. Hammett.
Madam Chair, and I'll stand to be corrected by our analyst folks here.
We're all in that same boat.
In my knowledge, when we started this project of the redevelopment, if you will, or looking at the total Red Lake facilities, the unmet needs of the district for our children, we started this in 2000, when we come on board, 2001, looking at the first review and comment. At that time, Madam Chair and committee members, it was thought that the district we could get by on maybe $4 or $5 million of adding three or four additional classrooms by. When we met with the board and we met with and brought our architect folks on board with us, we kind of got in a huddle and says, well, what is this going to do? Where are our children? And from that analysis, we said, our children need to have a pathway of something to look forward to. The district, we've had outbuildings, we've had temporary classes in these buildings. We've had buildings we've had to destroy because of mold in them and additional buildings. Anyway, our project come forth to do the total facility package, Madam Chair and members. It was like $41 million. To redo and finish our Panema school, our early childhood, our Red Lake Elementary, and the Red Lake High School Middle School. That was in 2001, our review and comment that went on to the 2002 legislative body representative. That project at that time was only funded for $12.4 million, of which the legislative body, and that was, I thought, a very good move, when we only had limited funding from you folks here, to include $500,000 to do a master plan of the facility needs for the Red Lake School District, addressing the entire facility needs. This, Madam Chair and committee members, was completed and delivered to the Department of Ed, Department of Finance, and to legislative members in October of 2003. It was from this that we are now building on. Our second request that went in after the 12.4 in the 2002 legislative appropriation was for $36 million to try to finish it. out of that, you'll recall, Madam Chair and committee members, that was in 2004, of which there was no bonding bill. Mm-hmm. During that interim time of that $36 million, we had in the governor's bill, we had in the Senate bill, we didn't have in the House bill. But out of that 2004, carried forward to 2005, the non-bonding bill year, is the legislators, you good folks, and the folks on the Senate, and the governor signed off on it for $18 million to do the projects which we are doing now, where our students are moving into. And that is primarily for the finishing and doing the ports. I'm sorry, not finishing, but doing the high school and tying together. And we have pipes, in essence, blocked off in this phasing process. And now we'd like to finish that for the $30 million of work done. So, Madam Chair, Representative Demarai, from 2000, it's been $30 million, almost as much. And we're ashamed to say that, but it's almost enough to have done the whole building in 2002. And we apologize, but our hands are tied, Madam Chair.
Representative Demmer.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Mr. Hammond, don't be too tough on yourself. We had this conversation a number of times in this committee, and we went round and round. And, you know, we all did understand that we really wanted to get the whole thing done. And I think, to your credit, you did the best with what you could, what you had. And quite frankly, I think we did what we thought we could get by with in trying to do that. And so it is unfortunate it's got to be more over the space of time. But I think it's important to understand that you have done a good job of working with what you got and trying to move forward and keep the ball rolling. And quite frankly, I think the legislature's tried to help you keep that ball rolling.
Yes, they have.
What I'm trying to do is there's a lot of people here that are new and probably need that perspective, because I know this is quite a project going forward.
Thank you very kindly, Representative. I want to share, Representative and Madam Chair and Representative, I want to share too that we told and talked to the committee back in 2005, we have taken every effort, every step we could to make sure the preservation of the assets that the state has given the district for these classroom pieces has been protected, has been incorporated in, and brought to being. And I think that is very, very important. Madam Chair, Representative Demmer, and other members, one of the other key issues that we have, and I apologize for except my wife gave me a note, is we had a lot of mold, and this is what I mentioned earlier about we had to tear down basically and burn a couple of the outbuildings we used to use for classrooms. Our tunnel, which we're now going to start demolition here in hopefully the next 30 days of the major wing of the old 49 wing we talk about. There was mold issues, asbestos. These are now being eradicated. We have beautiful, bright, and Representative Denner, I would love to have you please come back so you can see the brightness and the smiles on our kids' faces. They love you guys.
Thank you very much. If there's no more discussion, I will renew my motion for House File 1120 to be passed and re-referred to the Education Finance Division with further recommendation for referral to the Capital Investment Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. All right. Thank you very much, Representative Saylor, Mr. Hammond.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and
all the other members who are here from the school board and the leaders. Thank you. Representative Cornish. Representative Cornish, would you like me to move your bill, or did you ask a member on the committee already to move it for you?
I haven't asked yet, Madam Chair, so go ahead.
All right, I will move House File 1563 for consideration to be laid over for... It's just, okay, never mind. I got the wrong script here. Okay, we're back to be passed and re-referred to the Education Finance Division with further recommendation for referral to the Capital Investment Committee. Representative Cornish, welcome to the committee, and tell us about your bill and introduce your witness.
Madam Chair, I'm Representative Tony Cornish, and this is Christy Wessel from the USC Wells, and she'll be assisting me, and she takes over. I'm going to give a short introduction. We've got the whole program here, about 12 minutes. And for brevity, and what I'd like to do is tell you,
Representative Cornish, if it was any longer than that, we don't like the bills anymore.
Exactly.
Excuse me. Please proceed.
House File 1563, what it basically does is rework a cooperative facilities grant and modify statutes 123A44 into form to get it to work for USC and other schools that have consolidated. This similar bill we had in front of the committee, some of you members might remember it, were on last year, and it made it into the bonding bill. Unfortunately, during negotiations, it was dropped out. What we're talking about here, USC Wells School District, is a school that's back is actually against the wall. This isn't one where you hear about that needs a little remodeling here and there. This one you will hear is actually falling in, and we need some desperate help now or never. Actually, it's Miss Wetzel will get into this with some pictures and some other information that she's circulating. And if there's any questions about the technicalities of the bill as far as what bonds it makes available or how it's gone through the application, Department of Education, things like this, I'm sure Mr. Strom could answer it for you. And now I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Christy Wetzel.
Thank you.
Welcome, Ms. Wetzel.
Thank you. Nice to see you again, Madam Chair.
Nice to see you again.
I'm Christy Wetzel, USC School Board Chair. I'd like to thank all of the members, and I'd like to let you know that I'm very pleased to be in the same room. We actually have two representatives that serve our district. Representative Cornish and Representative Brown is our district representative in the Fremont County area. They're old and they're falling apart around and sometimes on top of us, as you can see with those pictures. I mean, that's a really horrible way to describe the buildings designed to educate our children. Welcome to school life at United South Central. These are the same buildings our children will spend hundreds of hours for 13 years of their life learning everything essential to become productive, contributing members of society. We teach them reading, writing, mathematics, and so much more in buildings the Minnesota Department of Education has deemed less than safe in a 2003 advisory letter, and I quote, USC's school facilities will continue to age and deteriorate, as will the environment for learning and teaching that supports students' achievement efforts and their preparations for the challenges of the 21st century. I'm here today as a member of elementary students, a concerned citizen, and the USC School Board Chair. But most importantly, I'm here as a voice of the students who are not heard. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share our needs and to show you the situation we are faced with. Allow me to take a few minutes to give you a factual tour and explore firsthand the building issues that plague our district and the struggles our students face Monday through Friday, September to June, preschool to graduation. United South Central is comprised of six unique and individual communities. The high school and elementary are located in Wells, and our middle school is located in Keister, 16 miles south. Our buildings are among the oldest, 2.7% of all school districts in Minnesota. We have 824 students. 48% of those students qualify for free and or reduced price lunch. 70% of our students live in the northernmost part of our school district. Our buildings, as well as many of the buildings in the districts you serve, have numerous educational deficiencies. Most classrooms are 23 to 33% smaller than state guidelines. 20 traditional classrooms are now used as special education rooms, federally and state mandated student support programs, and preschool classrooms. Our classrooms do not have space for computers, and they lack the infrastructure to support the network and the electrical needs of today's technology. We have minimal building security measures to prevent intruders from accessing student classrooms. Our structural deficiencies are numerous and include most roofs being 20 plus years old, and they need to be replaced. Our heating system is inefficient and it dates back to 1932. Our main water supply is fed through pipes dating back to 1932 and in many cases are nearly plugged with mineral deposits and needless to say they leak. Our main electrical service panel uses fuses and dates back to the 1930s. All windows are single-paned and drafty. Acoustic tiles often fall on top of students' heads and books. There's no safe drop-off and no safe pickup locations for our children, and our school is located on a busy highway. We have 8 pages of fire code violations representing hundreds of thousands of dollars of repairs. We've tried to pass bond referendums. In fact, we've had 3 failed bond referendums. In April of 2002, our voters voted on a $32 million building. 25% voted yes, 75% voted no. Nearly $15 million of this referendum would have been paid through debt equalization. In May of 2005, we went back to the voters with a $24,675,000 building.
40% voted yes, 60% voted no. Only $200,000 of that would have been paid through debt service equalization. We went back to the voters again in December of 05 with the same proposal. 42% voted yes, 58% voted no. What makes our district unique is the fact that we are a consolidation of six communities into one school district. Two communities suffered school building closes in the past 9 years, and our Keister Middle School will close in June of 08. Our buildings are not centrally located, which adds to our open enrollment problem. 170, or nearly 20% of our students, open enroll out to other districts, primarily because of our building conditions. The city of Wells hasn't passed a bond referendum in over 42 years. 60% of Wells residents voted yes to a referendum in both May and December of 05. 70% of a bond for a new school will be paid by agricultural land taxes. Outside investors have caused land values and property taxes to increase at an unrealistic rate for local farmers who purchase land for thousands less an acre. These same investors pass the increased property tax expenses back onto the shoulders of the renting farmers with increased per acre rent fees. Non-homestead farmland valued at $3,000 an acre would have been taxed an additional $9.21 an acre for 25 years. The county assessor is reporting a 15% increase in ag land values from the 2006 assessment to the 2007. Under current law, USC does not qualify for debt equalization based on our inflated land values and our declining enrollment. We did a two-year facility study that was done by a local group of volunteers showing a new pre-K through 12 building on one site would cost approximately, in today's market, $28 million. The building was designed to meet the ever-changing dynamics of a 21st century education. The new building was designed to be cost-effective and efficient. We know that the minimal maintenance project on our existing buildings would be over $11 million, and we would not be fixing the educational deficiencies. The study also showed that going to one site would save over $350,000 a year. This is $9 million over a 20-year bond referendum. House File 1563 seeks money from the state to lower the face values of bond referendums for schools like USC. I understand concerns from some legislators with this method. I am not proposing a new precedent for funding schools with bonding money. Our previous and very well-respected representative, Henry Collis, who served our district for 28 years, used this very same method to bring our neighboring school district, Blue Earth Area Schools, several million dollars for a new building. I've passed out a handout, and on your handout, I've shared some demographic information about USC and also an analysis of debt equalization generously provided by Tim Strom. Thanks, Tim. It's a hypothetical school district looking at a $16 million bond under current law without ag land, and the proposed legislation by Representative Welty. Under the proposed legislation, residential homestead property taxes increase 53% to 55% above current debt equalization law. Although this is favorable to ag land taxes, it simply shifts the burden to be paid onto residential properties. Is that really a solution to an already unequal tax burden? We are here today looking for a solution. Our students have to make do with a building where the drinking fountains are covered in plastic to prevent their use, or forced to shower after FIAD using water that is foul. We are a 4-star school in math and a 5-star school in English. And I often wonder what kind of educational accomplishments our students could achieve if their learning environment was conducive to their quality of work. Our Constitution calls for a uniform system of public schools. If we're practicing uniformity, do all schools look like those pictures? Everyone in our community agrees we need to do something with our buildings. The truth is, we will never pass a bond referendum because of the cost to the taxpayers. Until we have some sense of equality with regard to the percentage paid by our ag landowners, USC will remain at a critical crossroad. This is truly a bipartisan issue. It's about kids. And we know you're looking at a number of ways to solve the school building crisis. Debt service is being addressed and being looked at, but also House File 1563 should be seriously considered. With the generous help of representatives like yourselves, USC will be able to provide a building to meet the needs of children receiving a 21st century education. Without help, we will be forced to continue on the same path until all of our buildings are condemned, and the health and the well-being of our children is jeopardized. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wetzel. And the members, the pictures of the school is being passed around, and, you know, this is a good example of my comments earlier of, you know, whatever's in the bonding bill, I don't know how it could possibly stack up any higher than a school like this. So that's just my opinion, of course. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question is regarding how much community support, how much community effort went into trying to pass the bonding bill. 15 years ago, Mora built a new school, and the first thing they did is they got 60 people together and did a long-range planning session, so they had a lot of buy-in from everybody in the community. Then once that process was done, then they had 60 or more people involved in contacting people in the community, telling them why we need a school and all of this thing. Have you done all of those things in your processes, and if not, or if you've done more than that, please tell me what you have done.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we began our educational information process to build a new school in May of 2005, we spent nearly a year in community meetings, inviting the public with our architect before a plan was even drawn. And before that, we had a two-year facilities group that got together, researched all of the options, whether it was one site, two sites, remodel, build. Every possible configuration has been explored. In addition, we were here a year ago, and Representative Dorman, who was chair of the bonding committee, was receiving so many letters. He personally called me and said, please have your community stop writing me letters. So the community is hugely, hugely involved. And unfortunately, what happens is we have such a short window of opportunity to prepare the public, and we only have a weekly newspaper, so we can't get the public momentum until after a hearing. But trust me, I'm kind of sick of my phone ringing with people having questions of, what can I do? How can I help? Where are we going from here?
Maybe you mentioned this, but I didn't catch it. What has your enrollment been doing in the last 5 to 10 years, and what do you expect it to be in the next 5 to 10 years?
Ms. Wetzel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The actual city of Wells, which is the largest of all of our communities, is projected to grow by 10% in the next 20 years. We get into a really unfortunate situation with a school closing, which is always painful for every community, and rightly so. As a result of having to make the tough decision to close a school, we have had some parents, for various reasons, choose to open enroll their children out of our district because they don't want to see the school in their community close, which is very understandable. I do believe if we could address our building issue, make the necessary changes to make it an environment that's more conducive to learning, we will get some of those kids that are open enrolling back.
Representative Demmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Cornish,
Mrs. Wetzel.
I think we may have had a conversation.
We may have.
This is the USC is a poster child for what we're working on. I have the bill for removing the ag land. Representative Welty has the debt equalization, the combination of those things. It is a big problem, and USC, along with a couple other schools, are poster childs for what we're trying to do. Just a quick advertisement, Madam Chair, for the 13th meeting. That's when we'll be dealing with this issue, and we'll have lots of examples and lots of testifiers to try to deal with this very thing. The one thing I will caution is the example that was used as far as the data equalization piece and the ag land removal. That's an extreme example that was shown with the shift, and we'll have figures that are more realistic in terms of valuations of not the building site, if you will. There aren't probably a lot of building sites that have a grand total value of $70,000 in your district.
Correct.
I think more accurate would probably be more like $300,000 or $400,000 when you take a house and you take buildings and that sort of thing.
Right.
And that does change the shift quite a bit. And then when we look at the change along with the debt equalization piece, we may be closer to a solution than we think.
Okay, that would be so wonderful.
Well, I don't know if it's a solution, but it's doing the right thing. So anyway.
I was just calling on you because you're getting away from me here.
Oh, okay, okay. But anyway, an advertisement, if you will, for the 13th. We'll be going over this, Madam Chair, and I just want everybody to know that.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Wetzel.
Representative Demmer, can you answer a question for me, though? It will. Does your bill, the way it's proposed, will it shift more of the burden onto the residential homeowner, or will it look... Will the numbers look similar to current law?
I think I'm going to ask you to save that one maybe Representative Demmer will walk out with you and explain that to you, but that's not the topic of this hearing. Representative Cornish knows that. He's going, oh, my God, we're going to go over our 12 minutes, right? And there went the bill. Representative Cornish, I had a bill up in the Judiciary Policy Committee, as you know, right before, because you're on that committee, and it passed unanimously, but Representative Cole said, you know, you've got all Democrats on this bill. If you would, I would appreciate, you know, I wish I was on it, and I'm going to ask him to be on it when we go down to the floor. And since this is a bonding committee request, I would urge you to, unless you already have, and you're smarter than I was, to have Representative Brown sign on to the bill, and then it's a nice bipartisan request that I think is pretty urgent for the bonding committee. So I would just, a word of advice.
Thank you, that's important. That's it. We've got. I just want to let you know that the reason I didn't have a lot of offers or any, we dumped this in for the time limit. We're really worried about getting all the facts and figures together, but I could have got a lot of people to sign on. But thank you for your attention today and appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Representative. I'll renew the motion, House File 1563, for Representative Cornish. Be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Education Finance Division. And re-referred to capital investment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wetzel and Representative Cornish. Representative Dabney. Representative Dabney, why are you always way up there when it's your bill?
I was reviewing with somebody today. We're social people, Madam Chair.
You really are. Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Good afternoon. I'd like to move House File 1137 to be before the committee and considered for possible inclusion in the K-12 omnibus bill.
Representative Dabney moves House File 1137 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. We're done voting, and we probably won't do any more voting until we get to the timeline that Representative Grothlow asked about. Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, House File 1137 continues the authority granted to the Minneapolis School District in 1989 to levy for acquisition and betterment of school facilities, expands that same authority to St. Paul, and has no state budget impact. I have two testifiers with me today, Ms. Mary Gilbert, representing St. Paul Schools, and Mr. Jim Grothwell, representing the Minneapolis Public Schools.
I'm going to let Ms. Gilbert go first if she wishes, or Mr. Grothwell. I just was thinking she was in the middle there. All right,
we could have been alphabetically there for a minute.
Madam Chair, members, Jim Grothwell, Minneapolis Public Schools. I couldn't have said it better. Representative Dabney did. It's an existing authority for Minneapolis and St. Paul, actually, and it was enacted in 1989. And we've been using it since then, $15 million annually, general obligation bonding authority. We have about $1 billion of fixed assets in our community. This helps us maintain and renew them. Our taxpayers like good school buildings. This helps us keep them up.
Thank you, Mr. Grathwell. Ms. Gilbert.
We'll be very brief, which I hope we're interested in getting into the bill. This was a program that was started.
Could you just restate your name for the record?
I'm Mary Gilbert from the St. Paul Public Schools. This was a program that was worked on with the Department of Education to address some significant facility needs. And I can just say that Minnesota should be proud because it hasn't let its urban core facilities deteriorate like many, many other cities around the country. And as a result, so we can be pretty proud that we were allowed to make some investments in our facilities and at least allow them to be somewhat updated and fresh. so that when folks come and look at our buildings, they feel like they're a safe, clean, and instructional place to have their kids attend.
Thank you, Ms. Gilbert. Is there any testimony for or against this bill from the audience? Any members? Representative McFarland.
Madam Chair.
Our peripheral vision is very limited.
I'm just wondering, do these districts ever do any other bonding like the other schools have to do to have a building built? Is this the only bonding they do?
Representative Dabney or one of your witnesses?
I'll punt that over to the side here.
All right, Mr. Grathwaugh.
Madam Chair and Representative, this is the bonding. We have a couple different other bonding tools to use, but this is our primary general obligation bonding authority.
So then, did the citizens? Sorry, Madam Chair, did the citizens vote on this at one time ever?
No, this was, Madam Chair, Representative. This is a legislatively authorized authority.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Representative Dabney.
To Representative McFarland, it does require a supermajority of the elected school board to issue these bonds.
Representative Heidkirchen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this issue has been up. I think St. Paul and Minneapolis have done levies in the past, my understanding, without voter approval. And again, this one, my understanding would be two-thirds of the school board approval. Did the school board request you to bring this forward or not?
Ms. Gilbert.
Madam Chair and Representative Heidkirchen, yes, the school board did, and then it was approved by the St. Paul delegation as well.
Okay.
Representative Faust.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure that these are the only school district currently that is allowed to do this is Minneapolis, and this will add St. Paul to that. Is that correct?
Representative Dabney.
Representative Faust, that's correct. I compare the situation in Minneapolis with the situation of the school district I teach in outside the metro area. In that school district, which is a growing enrollment school district, they are always looking 5 to 7 years out for bonding elections. Given the dramatically higher number of school sites in both of the central cities, that's not a realistic time frame. They would be constantly having to go to the voters in order simply to maintain the buildings that we have. And it's largely a function of the difference in the number of school sites with the difference in the number of buildings we have.
Representative Post.
Am I correct in understanding that the majority of this money, all this money, is basically going for maintenance of existing buildings, not new facilities?
Ms. Gilbert.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Faust, that's true.
Right, thank you.
For example, if we have to make an accommodation for a special education population, that would require a modification of a building, which has occurred as our population has changed. It would be used on the modification of the building. We're not using it to construct new facilities.
Representative Faust.
I just am still unsold on this, I guess, a little bit as to why Minneapolis-St. Paul should have this and not every school district in the state.
Representative Faust, that can be a continuing discussion because this is just laid over for, unless somebody wants to
Jim, do you want to
say it one more time. Representative Mr. Grathwaugh.
Madam Chair and Representative Faust, there's no, we wouldn't have an objection that every school district in the state had this, but we only brought the bill renewing the existing authority we have. But be happy to talk with you about that further.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty. That's fine.
Did he say bring your own bill or what? Okay. Seriously, is there any other discussion from anybody else? Okay. Representative Dabney renews his motion that House File 1137 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus K-12 bill.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, members.
All right. Now, members, we have a new trick that Representative Dominguez and I have to figure out how to do all these motions for the subcommittee, right? And we had last Monday, Representative Dominguez heard three bills. One of them was in the committee for an informational hearing because we couldn't physically get the bill there due to all the routing things. So that bill on the My House File 196 that included the Columbia Teen Screen will be, we'll have a hearing on that as well when we do get it to this committee because it couldn't have been amended in that committee, and so we need to deal with that here. But the other two bills were heard, and so we have this report from Representative Dominguez on each of the first, on those first two bills. And so, Representative Dominguez, I will call on you for your part of this script.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to have a subcommittee. And the committee's name is Disparities in Student Support Services, by the way, for those of you who don't know the committee. It's a newly made committee, and we're hearing a lot of good bills, and several of you that are on this committee are on that committee. So thank you for joining me. It's an opportunity. Madam Chair, at this moment, I would like to move and adopt the subcommittee report. House File 1198.
Representative Dominguez moves adoption of the subcommittee report on House File 1198. Any discussion on the adoption of the report? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails, and the report is adopted. Representative Dominguez, would you like to then move the first bill up from your report?
Madam Chair, I would like to move that first bill. Also, at this present time, Madam Chair, I do believe I'd like to move House Bill File 1186.
Okay. Actually, we had Representative Mariani's bill first, but
we'll
whichever
go back to
order
Mariani's.
You want. Which, if you want to do that one first, it's fine.
I prefer to move them both, Madam Chair. So we.
We need to do one at a time, just because. Yeah. So, do you want to do 11? Well, let's do. We can do 1198 or 1186. Representative Dominguez moves House File 1186. What do we have to do with this? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're just back to regular motions now. Okay, now we're back to what we know how to do. Representative Dominguez moves House File 1198 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And now I took 1198 when he said 1186, right? This is going to, been in Representative Mullery's committee too long, isn't it?
Madam Chair.
Representative Anzel.
I was there too long, too. I was there. I share your pain.
We both had bills up in that committee, and we were ready to get out of there. Okay, let me do this over again. I'm going to withdraw that motion. Okay. Representative Dominguez moved House File 1186. Be recommended to pass. Okay, well, then we do have to do Representative Mariani's report.
Okay, we'll do that.
So do you want to try that again?
Madam Chair, I would like to move House File 1198.
Okay. All right, Representative Dominguez moves House File 1198 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Mariani, do you want to say a word or two about your bill? We did have a full hearing in the subcommittee, and those could be amended there, so we're not going to repeat the hearing. These can be amended if they should be included in the omnibus bill at that time as well. But we would like to hear briefly what your bill is about.
Well, very briefly, it's a great bill. but more to the a little bit more information. We talked a little bit about this beginning of session. If you all remember, we had a discussion with the commissioner at the time about the issue of the five-year cap on limited English proficiency funding. This bill would essentially lift that cap off. The commissioner at that time indicated an acknowledgement that research tells us that 5 years is not, if you're going to do a cap, that's not a good place to do it. At least 7 years, what we heard from a number of testifiers is, depending on the student, where they came from, their literacy background, the range is probably 7 to 10, and in rare cases even longer than that. And so this essentially gets us back to where we were in the state up to, historically up to 2003 when we had, when we did the change. And so we heard from a number of districts, by the way, who also said that in essence is really a cross-subsidy that's happening here, because as good educators, they feel very committed that even if the state sets an artificial cap, that they will continue to provide services because they want to make sure that their students can continue to make progress. And so this would greatly alleviate the expenses that they're incurring once they get beyond the five-year state-imposed cap.
Thank you, Representative Mariani. Are there any questions for him? Okay, well then, House File 1198 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill, and we will go on to the next one. And Representative Dominguez, I'm sorry, I thought when we adopted the report we adopted both bills, but I guess we have to do that one more time then.
That's fine, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I would also like to move House File 1186.
Representative Dominguez moves adoption of the committee report for House File 1186. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The report is adopted. And now I would move House File 1186 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And members, this is my bill. It's the Collaborative Urban Educator Program for recruitment and retainment of and training of urban educators. And this would be an appropriation for Concordia Academy for their Southeast Asian program of $500,000, $400,000 for the Collaborative Urban Educator Program at the University of St. Thomas, and $400,000 for the Center for Excellence in Urban Teaching at Hamline University. And we had very good testimony from all three of those institutions, as well as some of the students who are now teaching successfully in our schools, who have had the training to make sure that we help to close the achievement gap by having teachers of color so that students can see people like themselves in the classrooms. And that definitely makes a difference in terms of student learning. Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening carefully enough. Did you mention Metropolitan State and Minsky institutions as well?
Representative Mariani, I'm glad you raised that point. I did not mention them. There were two students who testified in Representative Dominguez's subcommittee from Metropolitan State, and they asked that there be a consideration for themselves in this bill. And so I said at that time that I would be happy to work with them. It wasn't my intention to exclude them. And we came to find out that there are other schools also that could have been included. And the two students were there on their own, and then not with going through the channels at Metro State. And so then I talked to a representative from Metro State who said actually they were not requesting to be in that bill. That there is another appropriation from what's that called, the Urban School Program or Urban Teacher Program, that they get funding. It's in the base formula that goes to them. They did express some interest, but I decided not to. I had the amendment up there that you may have noticed for $100,000 for Metro State. I decided not to move that amendment at this time, and you know, maybe later on, because we have had this topic before us, we can take a look at that for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill as well. But because of the discussions, I decided not to include it in this bill or have it tied to this money in any way. Metro State said they strongly supported the three programs that we have before us, and they are very good programs, and they do want to be remembered, but they weren't making any request at this time. The $100,000, should we decide later to put it in the omnibus bill, we could talk to them about what that might be used for. But I appreciate your bringing that up, because that closes the circle of that discussion we had in the subcommittee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The three private schools do run excellent programs, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The Metro State based program is one that we created as a legislature, and so I just want to make sure that we, in fact, are closing the loop with something that we've set up in order to meet the growing demand for urban educators. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Mariani. I would invite you to also check with Metro State, and we did have that amendment that we could offer at another time and get exactly straight what they might want to use that for.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, House File 1186 will be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. That is, unless anybody has anything else, I just want to say that Representative Dominguez did a wonderful job chairing the committee, and we had very good testimony, spirited discussion, and if any of you who are not on the subcommittee care to attend, we have two more. One is on the next Monday, and one is the Monday after that, and there will, and anyone on this committee can make suggestions to Representative Dominguez about during the interim. His committee will be continuing on. If there are suggestions that fit under the topic of his committee, why don't you say it again, Representative Dominguez, then you can suggest it to him and we could consider having hearings on that. The title again?
The title is Disparities in School Support Services. Madam Chair, I just want to say that the reason why it's run so well is I'm taking lessons from Representative Heigergen. I'm trying to keep things in order.
Oh, my God. So
Representative Dominguez, the very
and I got through it, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. The meeting's adjourned.